Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now is live.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Talk podcast. I'm Ollie Davis and I'm joined by my Quizzlemania tag team champion buddy, the host of Quizzlemania tomorrow night, X7, and the guy who's definitely got my back because I've got his, Luke Owen.
Hello, Swap Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you, mate?
I'm doing okay, thanks. I'm just looking forward to defending my Quizzlemania championship tomorrow.
I mean, I think to clarify, you're not defending your Quizzlemania championship, though, are you? Because Sean...
It won't be much of a defense. Yeah, I know it's going to be a rout.
Well, Sean's the champion. You're the tag team champions with me.
I'm the tag team champions, yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait.
But not defending that tomorrow. Anyway, but yes, Quizzlemania is going to be a lot of fun tomorrow. Mm. Calling it right down the middle, of course, which I'm very much looking forward to.
Hey, Luke, this one's for you. Air wink for podcast listeners. Right down the middle. Air wink.
Yes.
Air wink. Yes. Air wink.
Yeah. Still, right down the middle. That's the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
Should we get into the show itself? Because what a controversial topic we have got to broach here. Because according to the internet, Keith Lee was buried on Raw last night, buried deep beneath the earth in his Raw debut. Some people think that he's been botched beyond repair. So let's dive into the actual show and see what we think. Here it is.
As was advertised on SummerSlam, we got the debut of Keith Lee, the guy who lost the NXT Championship on Saturday night at NXT TakeOver XXX to Karrion Kross. Seems like he was just a bit of a transitional champion, really. Only had the belt for just over a month, but now he's on Raw. It's after SummerSlam. It's like the start of a new season for WWE. And how did Keith Lee debut? He debuted in a segment with Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre. He was put in right at the top, in my opinion. And I've got a low bar for NXT call-ups. We all should have a low bar for NXT call-ups. Yes, his name wasn't changed. That was just muscle memory for when I talk about NXT call-ups.
Oh, yeah.
His music was changed. His ring attire was changed. And that might have... I think people are focusing on that too much. Because I saw it happen. I was like, you know, I watched the episode of Raw and I was so happy for Keith Lee. I was really excited for him. And it wasn't a perfect call up, but very, very few are when it's WWE. This was him, like I said, feud with Randy Orton, getting a pay-per-view match at Sunday with Randy Orton. He's in the mix of the WWE Championship picture, in my opinion, right now. Commentary put him over like $1 million. This fills me with optimism. And
yeah.
I get online and the general reaction and the reaction on my Raw review that went up at 1 o'clock is all stuff like Keith Lee was buried.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Botched already. Like, it was, I was quite stunned by it because I, you know, I watched it this morning and I was like, oh, God, they changed this music. That music's very generic and very, very rubbish. Oh, no, he's not wearing like his Keith Lee gear either, because I guess Vince McMahon, we'll get into the gear in a minute and the reason as to why I think that they have changed it. But at the end of it, I was like, man, Keith Lee is in the mix with Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre at the moment. This is what we've been asking for from NXT call-ups since Kevin Owens, really. Like, I don't think they have done a really successful NXT call-up to this degree. Like, since Owens, like, when you debut someone and instantly make them feel like a star. Because Andrade didn't feel like a star when he came up. Rude didn't feel like a star. Ricochet hasn't felt like a star.
Drew McIntyre. He was Dolph Ziggler's second.
And when he wasn't Dolph Ziggler's second, he was just Baron Corbin's second or Braun Strowman's second. Like, he was not a star when he came up to the main roster. Keith Lee's been brought up and they're like, and he's now feuding with Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre. It's like, what, a WWE champion Drew McIntyre? And if you saw the SummerSlam stream that we did yesterday, I did have a very cynical approach that he was going to come out and just do a squash match, and we'll see those for the next 3 weeks. Then he'll take some time off, just like the Viking Raiders. Then he'll come back, and he'll do another 3 weeks, this, that, and the other. I had incredibly low expectations for this. And while it was not perfect, it was far from perfect, because we can say a lot about the match that he had as well. There's so much upside to this that I think it's impossible to say that Keith Lee was buried on this show. I think it is actually impossible to say that they botched it. It's not perfect, but to say that he was buried is ludicrous to me.
Yeah, I think buried gets thrown around a lot as a bit of hyperbole. It's kind of like you don't really know how you feel yet, but it wasn't exactly as you had it pictured. Therefore, your favorite has been buried or it's been botched. And you know, what we do that sometimes too, because we get so invested in things. It comes from a place of passion. We're not like saying that, like, sort of devaluing people's opinion who think this. I'm sure there's plenty of people in the chat as well. But it's just like, and maybe our big fault is that our expectations are so low with this sort of stuff. Like you said, WWE haven't done a good one since Kevin Owens. When was that? Yeah. 2016, 2015?
The other one I suppose you could make the argument for is Balor, because they did, you know, they strapped the title to him as soon as he came up, basically. So he's probably the other one that you could say.
Yeah, initially that was correct. I would say it's, we don't know how this is going to unfold, because this was a good first week. It wasn't a perfect first week, but it was a good first week. Where he's at after Sunday in particular, because if he loses to Orton a payback and it's not a killer angle as why, that's troubling there. But let's see where we're at after 3 weeks before we say buried. This isn't a Viking experience. I still stand by calling the Viking Raiders the Viking experience really, like, hindered them from the get-go. What happened after that, however, was just booking and management's portrayal. And they changed the name as well. Sometimes it's just change rather than something bad. So jury's out. But definitely on this first outing, I consider this that Keith Lee's massively over.
And, like, I mean, it's hard to say if we can say that he's over, because there's no, I mean, they're piping in the crowd reaction. So, like, the fake noise told me that he's over, but I suppose we have no real way of knowing. But, like, I just think that for me, watching this show, I thought, okay, he's got this match with Randy Orton this weekend. I can see it going one of two ways. I'll talk about this in the prediction show that we've got coming out later today. I can see it going one of two ways. He loses to Randy Orton via Drew McIntyre distraction or what have you. Or Drew McIntyre causes a DQ. Mm. Either way, my big prediction is that the Clash of Champions main event, at least the WWE Championship picture, is a triple threat of Drew, Randy, and Keith. Bearing in mind that Keith's promo after Drew was taken off was like, look, he's my friend. We're really good friends. You know, they very much peppered that throughout the show. It's like, it's Drew's good friend, Keith Lee. But he's like, he's my friend, but I don't need him interfering in my matches. which beautifully sets up something to happen at Payback, where Drew can come out still pissed, you know, full of piss and vinegar at Randy Orton for sending him to a local medical facility, and that interference causes Keith to take a loss. I don't think, as long as there's some like protection around Keith Lee taking a loss against Randy Orton, I don't think that's a bad move either, especially if you can build off the back of it with something else. Like, Keith looked great in the sort of 5-minute match he had with Randy, because Randy was like bumping all over the show for him.
Well, let's go through what actually happened. Drew McIntyre came out at the start of the show, cut a promo about how he beat the greatest wrestler in the world, right? That makes him the greatest wrestler. Offered Orton a rematch out of pity or whatever. And then he walks up, he gets attacked by Randy Orton. Randy Orton hits a couple, like two punts, go to ad break, come back, and Drew's stumbling around. So like the punt has been so devalued. If you want to talk about a burial recently, HBK last week and Drew here, the punt, yeah. one should be enough to take you out. But we got three punts on this show, which was enough to send Drew to hospital. And of course, the Shawn Michaels stuff last week. So Orton comes out later on to explain this. And you've been having video packages hyping Keith Lee's debut before this and the commentary talking about it, which makes it feel like a big deal. This isn't just something that was thrown in there. And Keith Lee interrupts Randy Orton. And I was like, as soon as Keith Lee came out, because I didn't expect it. I was expecting just, here is the NXT call-up. Here is the token match of squash. Enjoy, Thunderdome. And it was him coming right out. The top heel in the company. You know, I guess Roman Reigns is the top heel in the company. But Randy Orton is the top heel in the company. And arguably, because of a very limited roster, the company's biggest mainstream star.
Mm-hmm.
And we criticize WWE, that mentality that they got the rub, right? Doesn't matter, they lost, they got the rub. You look at this on paper, Keith Lee did in fact come in and lose his first match to Randy Orton in 5 minutes on an episode of Raw. But stuff on paper is not how it unfolds in practice. Like Luke said, they have a match later on, which, you know, in a better world would have been next week, because that was something I was really excited about. I think that would have felt better if you hold it off. But they've got to build towards Payback.
Can I stop you there? Sorry. Will you guys stop saying that Roman is a heel? It makes you look very silly.
Oh, yes, that was I was definitely serious when I said that. And they have this match, 5-minute match. Commentary are putting over Keith. And Rand, like you said, Randy's putting over Keith. There's a spot where Keith Lee catches Randy Orton's punch and just sort of crushes it in front of him. And Randy's selling it like, oh my God. You know, this is meant to be one of the most protected guys in the company.
Yeah.
Having a punch caught. That's a huge deal.
And you've got the commentary like falling over themselves to put him over and just be like, have you ever seen anyone this strong? Have you ever seen this? Samoa Joe was doing everything possible. He, like when they says like, you know, he was coming out to the ring, they're like, oh, he's one of the most athletic men for his size. And Samoa Joe's like, no, not just for his size. He's one of the most athletic men, period. He, like, the commentary were doing so much to put this guy over.
Yeah, and look, so this is where we sort of, I guess, the criticisms can come into. He's got different music. That's just very annoying, because his music in NXT was great. He was singing it, or rapping it rather, which, you know, makes it a really cool way to get over his character immediately. That's what entrance music's meant to do. That's a definite negative.
Mm-hmm.
His ring attire is different. Like, on impulse, I think it's bad. Because he's looking NXT, just the trunks. He's got such a unique look. And what's happened here is, I think we can all realize, unless you're a comedy character, if you don't have the right, in air quotes, physique that Vince McMahon wants to put on TV, which is the Drew McIntyre physique, then you will get covered up. So this is, you know, this is essentially a bit of fat shaming, right?
It's 100%, yeah.
So Keith Lee has got baggy gym shorts on. You lose the shape of those impressive muscular thighs. Look at the pistons. If Taz was there, he'd be going crazy for those pistons. And then on top of that, which I think it looks a bit rubbish, is this sleeveless vest.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there, really. It's like there's and people might be saying that you're reading too much into this, but there is a track record of this, of Vince does not like, you know, Husky Harris. The Huskers the Pig Boy as a character in the Firefly Funhouse is based around the fact that Vince McMahon thought that Bray Wyatt was too fat to be on TV, basically, and was told to go and lose weight.
The WWE, via Vince McMahon, did a fat-shaming storyline for Mickey James.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just Bray Wyatt. Big Damo, when he came up as part of Sanity, the first thing they did was put a top on him because Vince doesn't like that body type. Roman Reigns. There's a reason why Roman Reigns wears a vest and he wears the flak jacket. It's because he doesn't have a six-pack. And because Vince wants him to be the top guy, can't have that on show. You can't have the, like, you watch a lot of Roman's early matches. He is so self-conscious about the way that he looks. He's constantly tucking his vest into his pants so that it doesn't come up and you can see his little tum-tum. It's and that's clearly a Vinceism, that he doesn't want to see the fact that you don't have a six-pack. I can't put you out on TV. And it's been that way for a long, long time. And who's the only fat guy that they have on TV? Otis. And
look,
what does he do?
Sexy body.
He runs around and he rubs his belly and he dances around. He's a complete comedy goofball. So it is awful fat shaming. And it's such a shame because, as you said, Keith Lee's got such a unique look about him. And like, and you couple that with the entrance music as well, which sets him apart from everyone else, because it's not this generic song. It's a song that he's written. It's a song that he's performed. It's a song that he's put together, and it sounds wicked and it gets over his personality. So they took that out and just like, chugga, 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 whang. It sounds like, you know, SmackDown 2 menu music. It's just, it's actually, it's really stupidly bad.
So when we worked at Indie Mania and a few other indie shows, sometimes wrestlers turn up and they haven't brought their entrance music. Do you think this is what happened? He just left it at home? He didn't bring the pen drive? And we're like, God, I'll use something from the archive then. How's rock music number 3?
Yeah, that's pretty much what this track is called.
Yeah, it's usually like, it's not called rock music number 3. It's rock and rager number 3. The way those archives work.
Volume 4.
And trust me, we're not, when we say that, you know, overall, I think Keith Lee's debut was a big win. We're not belittling the importance of entrance music and ring attire to the overall presentation of a wrestler. It enhances them so much, but it's not the be all and end all. People can get over in spite of those things. If they have a bad story, however, no one is going to get over just because they've got a great entrance music. Look at Bobby Roode. He didn't have the story. He always had that entrance, didn't have the story. So it's the story and the character work that's the most important, and that's why I think this works. There is another criticism that's come out, and that is Keith Lee lost. So they have this 5-minute match. Randy Orton sells for him, but Randy Orton gets on top. He's gearing up for the RKO, and Drew McIntyre runs in and causes the DQ. So Keith loses by DQ, mind you. I think that's fine. This was a angle show. This wasn't a wrestling show. They've got a pay-per-view on Sunday, which, you know, is stupid and nonsensical, but this is the corner they put themselves into. So they needed to set up this match. And this was a good way to save Orton and Keith Lee for pay-per-view, which they should be doing. That's the right move. Yeah. The only thing I would have changed, and it develops what you touched on earlier about Keith Lee being annoyed that Drew, his mate, has gotten involved here and cost him a victory. His first victory. He should be annoyed about that. Randy Orton's run off. Drew McIntyre's in the ring like, my head. And there is no Keith Lee to be seen. He's Thanos'd away. And that's such a mistake. At least have him in there. But what would have been best, Drew turns around and Keith Lee's standing there. And Keith Lee's like, Drew. He's run up away. And he's, you know, maybe Drew's got the title. And Keith looks at the title. And he's like, and it's sort of unspoken. Nice to see you, bud. I'm glad you're okay. You're my friend. But don't do that again. Oh, by the way, I want that.
Yeah, and you couple that with the promo that he cuts later on when Drew's taken off to the local medical facility, I think that actually would have put a really neat bow on the story that I think they are trying to tell. Bear in mind, I am putting, maybe I'm reading too much between the lines, but I think this is the story that they're telling. And I think that's actually a really, it would have been a really nice touch, because it did suck that, like, you know, got the DQ and then the focus was just taken away from him and just moved over to this pre-existing feud, and they bowed and Lee just disappeared. I don't think it also helped as well that it was the exact same DQ we got in the Bayley Baszler match. Like, it's literally the exact same disqualification, like spot and all. So I don't think that helped either. And I think that's why a lot of people are diving onto this. Keith Lee was botched. Keith Lee was buried, this, that, and the other. Because I've seen some people be like, oh man, like, they've changed his character. But like, have they though? Like, he came out and he cut a Keith Lee promo. He went out there and he wrestled a Keith Lee match. It's just, the music and the gear doesn't work. I don't think it's the best presentation of Impossible, and that's it. Like, it's not the worst presentation, but it's not the best presentation of Keith Lee. And yeah, but aside from that, like, I just think this is a net positive, which is that we've got an NXT call up that wasn't doing squash matches, that was put into a storyline and is facing Randy freaking Orton at the pay-per-view. Like, I'm taking that as a net positive, mate.
Mm. You touched on something there that we haven't covered, actually. Keith Lee's promos. I just love hearing him talk. Like, he's one of those people who could do a WWE script, and the way he talks, it's so stylized anyway.
Apex Predator.
Apex Predator. You know, like, it's so, oh, it sends shivers down my spine. Thank you, Ollie. Support Luke. So it's just like, I just like hearing him speak. It's unlike any other way, and that's it. Like, he's so unique that hopefully he isn't just a supporting character, an Aleister Black, an Umberto Carrillo.
That's
in the,
exactly
in
it.
The Drew McIntyre Randy Orton feud, because they didn't want to do the rematch so soon. But that's what happens later on, because this story, you know, this was the main story of the episode as well. The post SummerSlam show was Keith Lee's story, which is, again, something that's going unnoticed, I think. And Drew's attacked backstage by a third punt. Third one's a charm. He's sent to a local medical facility. And that's where Keith Lee says, I'm going to, you know, get my revenge on, or sort of avenge Drew there. And the match was made, Randy Orton versus Keith Lee for payback. Huge, huge vote of confidence by the company in him.
Absolutely. And so Keith Lee's main roster appearances thus far have been going down to the final two with Roman Reigns at Survivor Series, going toe-to-toe with Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble, and now going into a feud with Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre over the WWE Championship. Like, that seems to me like a bit of a vote of confidence, to be honest. Like, and it's one of those things where you're like, oh, so you do know how to debut NXT style. Like, you do know how it's done.
It's interesting, though, how, you know, they did the same thing with Shayna. Dominated Survivor Series. Dominated Rumble. Dominated Elimination Chamber. But all the while, it didn't feel like the company was behind her. So I was always a bit, like, trepidatious over getting invested in her. Keith Lee's little spots, like you said, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble. I feel like the company are into him. But, you know, this clip might be played back to me in 3 weeks' time. I'm very aware of that when he is just, I don't know, fighting MVP, you know? Because that's we'll usually see. Where any diverse wrestlers go is the United Absolutely. States Championship.
Yeah, so I think, but broad strokes, I don't like the new ring gear. And I don't like the new ring gear for two reasons. The reasons for which are twofold. I don't think it looks as good as his trunks. And B, it's very much just a Vince McMahonism that I am not on board with. And his generic entrance music just needs to go back to his old thing.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment.
Look younger. Feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Lockdown has been hard on lots of people, but it's also been tough on, well, you know,
my big hairy balls, Luke.
Yes, your big hairy balls, Ollie.
So let's thank today's sponsor, Manscaped, for providing the best materials to give you the best manscaping experience possible. This could be the greatest ball shaving of all time.
Hygiene is super important in this, the new now. And the Perfect Package Essentials Kit by Manscaped comes with everything you need. High-performance USB rechargeable body trimmers with its advanced skin-safe technology, which is far more impressive than WWE's AI. Are nonsense at their pay-per-views.
It's not just your big hairy balls that need sorting out. You also need to look at your big hairy nails, or your long hairy nails, or your big long nails.
Along with the Perfect Package Kit, you should also order the Shears 2.0, a newly improved luxury 4-piece nail kit with stainless steel slashed tipped tweezers, round point scissors, fingernail clippers, and a medium grit nail file.
Enroll in the Peak Hygiene Plan for quarterly replenishments of your favorite products and get 20% off your order using the code WTTV.
There's even free international shipping to the US, Canada, Australia, and old blighty United Kingdom. So get 20% off your order at manscaped.com using the promo code WTTB.
That's manscaped.com with the code WTTV for 20% off your order. Your neat and tidy balls will thank you. Well, are you ready to do this? Shall we see what our lovely viewership thinks?
Yes, I'm ready for this. Oh, look at this font. We've got some Comic Sans in there, some Yinoff, and then just regular old Roboto.
So, moderators are having a laugh at the moment.
Cheers, Les.
So Valab Mamadipudi, Randy Orton is a household name, 13-time world champion, literally in the title picture, and is Keith Lee's first feud in a pay-per-view match. Don't know about you, but that's not a botch from WWE, music and attire aside.
I completely agree with you, with the exception that I don't think Randy Orton is a household name. Like, I don't think I could say to my mum,
oh yeah,
who's Randy Orton? And she would know. However, I could say to my mum, who's Hulk Hogan? And she would know. Like, who's The Rock? She would know.
Yeah. Well, that's a tough thing to, but yeah. So that's one for Keith Lee. Let's keep track. Axe Adapter. I was worried Keith Lee was going to get the NXT call up Dolph Ziggler feud, but don't worry, WWE still have us content to complain about.
I think that's meant to be still gave us content to complain about.
Yeah. So is that pro? I'm going to put that in the middle. Not going to count it.
I was going to say, because they were worried that Keith Lee was going to get the Dolph Ziggler feud, but they didn't. Instead, they gave us something else and we just complained about that instead.
We need that voting widget back. That was help. This is better than my... Or we could just do this. JTG or FTF, folks. I won. Zachary Jenkins. So are we only supposed to bask in Roman's glory? Is that why they changed Lee's theme, LOL?
No, I mean, they've still got the bask in his glory thing at the start. It's just then changes to a different rubbish song.
I'm not going to count that either. Black Adam. They changed his music and had Randy almost beat him in 4 minutes. How could I not want to see him fight for Drew's honor Sunday? So I say that's a negative. Richard Smith, since Drew and Autumn feud is still going on, does Autumn win at Payback to still look like a major threat? And does that loss at Payback hurt Lee?
Again, I think it's all in that finish. If you've got a finish that involves Drew McIntyre, like not causing a distraction for Keith Lee to take a loss to Randy Orton, but Drew McIntyre's involvement with Randy Orton does cause some form of distraction. I think there's 100% you can protect him in that loss.
Oblivious carry. Keith Lee made it past week one. Two more to go. So that's
there you go.
Yes. While DDA, second fiddle in a story that's really about the Orton and Drew, a technical loss here and likely a screwy finish Sunday, I'm worried. That's another one over here.
I'm not sure if he's playing second fiddle in a triple threat feud.
It could be. It could be.
But you're absolutely right. That is me. I'm projecting that I think this is a triple threat feud. It very well might not be.
Let me carry on. I look like Matt Hardy version one right now. Mario Hardy, speaking of, what if Drew helps Keith win via distraction and that sets up something later between all three? Do you think that's something that would be possible?
I think it's something that would be possible. Yeah, absolutely.
That's not a vote either way. Wilson Simons, Keith Lee's new music sounds like Vince went do 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 burn on, and that's what they got. Mr. Kilji, Keith is built up so Lesnar can return. It's the Alexa Bliss booking from the last month. All hard work for one of Vince's golden boys. So I think they think it's just for Lesnar to bury him. God, I mean, that could happen. That's definitely got a track record. Jesse Woodring, I wonder if the reason Keith's music wasn't used is because he produced it and doesn't want them to be able to copyright it.
But NXT, he was using it down in NXT. Like that doesn't make any sense to me.
They're the same company. Yeah. I know Triple H doesn't want you to think that, but they're the same company.
Same company.
Jeff Mancini, anyone else get dusty vibes from Keith Lee promos? A little bit. Yeah, it's sort of just the charisma. Brizzy Bruz 1, how do you book Lee versus Orton on Payback? Who loses? DQ.
I was going to say, if it was down to me, I would have some Drew involvement. And if that led to a Randy victory or even a DQ loss, which again is not great, but it's just as long as you do something that keeps Keith involved in the championship picture, that's the way around it.
And finally, on this subject for now, the goon, Lee or Orton, cannot lose. Horrible booking.
I'm going to disagree with you there. The goon! Because I think both can, and both can be protected in that.
Yeah, well, but, you know, just going by Super Chats, the people whose opinion matters most because they've given us money, that is four on the negative reaction side to two positive. Yeah. And I would say all the other ones were actually, you know, quite sarky about Keith Lee's debut. It's a shame we're having this conversation. You know, it's a shame that they changed these things because they're very minor and we could have just all been ecstatic. I mean, you know, if he did come out with the music, with the usual attire, do you think we'd be having this debate?
No. I mean, maybe the 5 minute match thing might have worked some people, but let's be honest, that's just what Raw is now. It's 5 minute matches.
Especially this episode. And finally, actually, because this one's just come in, which gives us three positive. Bradley Fetzer, I feel indifferent about the smaller changes of Lee, but overall, the call up right now feels almost perfect.
That's the way to put it. Yeah, like it was not a perfect call up, but man, it was better than some. It was better than I don't know if it was better than some. It was better than most. It's better than 99% of the ones they've done. Better than what they did with Sanity.
So that's, you know, that's pretty much the whole, a large part of the show, what we've just discussed, the Drew Lee stuff. So we'll do the play-by-play now. Opened with the Drew McIntyre segment. Then we get Nia Jax calling Shayna Baszler and Adam's family backstage.
Not just that, but also Haystacks Calhoun, who was born in 1934. And died in 1989. So relevant references there for the young generation that they're trying, that they've somehow lost, and they can't work out how they've lost them. Maybe it's because you're making references to Haystacks Calhoun in 2020.
BTE keep joking about how do we reach that over 50 demographic. Here you go. Yeah. It's the culture references. So this turned into a match between Bayley and which, you know, in a couple of minutes, I like watching Shayna wrestle a lot. I really like her in this tweener role. She's kind of, and I wrote this down before I saw the sort of, not hack, but stupid fan in the Thunderdome. But there's something about Chris Benoit about, I mean, that, you know, it's hard to make these comparisons because of everything he did afterwards, but 2000, 2001 Chris Benoit, he was never really a heel. Although sometimes he was. He always came across as just a badass. And that's what I'm getting from Shayna. She's not a bad person right now, but she's definitely not a good person either.
No, which is what I think I quite like about her feud with... I don't like the dialogue between her and Nia Jax, but there's something about this feud. I don't overly hate this feud, I've got to be honest with you. I know we could sort of pull faces. I don't hate this feud. I do hate the dialogue between them, though, and the writing. That's not great. But I like Shayna, and I do like watching Shayna wrestle, and I do agree with you as well that there is something about that. There is something Benoit-esque about it. It feels real. Like, that's the one thing you would always say about Benoit is that, you know, just looking at Benoit as a wrestler, not as a person, obviously, Benoit always made it feel legit. Benoit always made it feel real, and I think Shayna gets that across as well, even when you're sort of having a match against what is quite a goofy character in Bayley. I think it still works for Baszler. But this was the same DQ finish we got for the Randy Keith match later on in the show, which is that Nia Jax comes out, trips Baszler, that caused the DQ. They start brawling. Banks and Bayley start laughing and they move round to the ringside. So Baszler and Nia stop fighting to look at Banks and Bayley and then later decide that they're going to go after the tag titles together. And that match was then announced.
What? This was so badly done. And it's a shame because there's a good idea here. I'm not particularly enamored about Nia Jax and Shayna teaming up, although they had a segment later on where Shayna just slapped Nia in the face and walked off after being like, all right, let's be tag team champions then. Poof. You know, yeah. I got a kick out of that. But how they got there was so badly done and didn't make any sense.
This is what happens when you've only got 6 days to promote a show. You've got to do three weeks of story in three segments.
But even then, you can do it where Sasha Banks and Bayley are more obviously laughing at them, or they get involved in some way. Just the way where Bayley and Nia Jax just stopped hitting each other and looked at Bayley and Banks. Just rubbish. But these angles sort of unfolded throughout the night. And there's that tag team title match for Payback.
Yes. Apparently, some people were upset at your comments, Davis. Those who didn't catch the comment, only caring about Super Chat comments was sarcasm. Wrestle cares about wasn't. All of its viewers' opinions.
No, it wasn't. Super Chat. Of course we care about your opinions. Is sarcasm not coming across? What should I do when I'm being sarcastic? Go cross-eyed.
Because of backlash sarcasm. Also, don't want to hate to say it, but I did call this. I did call this on the SummerSlam show yesterday. And I do think that Nia and Baszler are going to win the tag straps next week.
Let's see what happens. But after that, we got the other promoted return for the show. Aleister Black came out for a segment on the KO show. He's got a big bandage on because his eye was taken out by Seth Rollins. Well, it's Buddy Murphy who did it, wasn't it? As sort of that proof. And then he's kind of scared about the steel steps. He was a bit wary getting on them because of that thing, and he made Kevin Owens play the recap of when the eye came out. He then feigned that it was hurting again, and that was to get Kevin Owens on his knees for a black mass. Aleister Black is now a heel.
Is that how you read the scenario?
Well, how did you take it?
I didn't see that he feigned the eye injury. I think that he has got an eye injury, but he is just lashing out because of it. Like, it's made him an angrier person. So when he went down for help, Owens was like, oh, mate, do you need some help? And he's like, well, no, I don't need help. And the way to convey that I don't need help was to kick him in the face. And it's just this more sort of like, it's just a different angle. That's the way that I read it anyway. I might be wrong on that one.
I like that more, to be honest. It's like, oh, he's being driven by this physical injury, which is, you know, probably now more psychosomatic. And he's embarrassed ultimately that he got injured in that way and taken out, and he's lashing out at people for it. That's a lot more psychologically complex, which probably means he'll cut a "you people" promo next week. You people to all the LED screen, all the LED Pikachus. You Pikachus turned your backs on me.
And you, KKK member, you all turned your back on me. I think it probably should be noted at this point that this episode of Raw is described as quote, the vision of Vince McMahon, because Vince arrived at the arena at 7:20 p.m. and promptly tore up the entire script and rewrote, quote, just about everything that was planned. That's from PW Insider. And we'll have some more from Fightful, Fightful Select later on about Vince rewriting and scrapping things. But yeah, multiple things on this show were changed last minute. And the show does feel like that because, you know, we had some rematches along the way. There was not a lot of wrestling. There was a lot of angles and sort of feuds that don't really need to continue, but are still continuing, i.e. Angel Garza and Montez Ford.
Yeah. Well, let's blow through those because there's really nothing to say on them. I'll just add on the KO Black thing that the story you proposed I'm more into than what I thought was happening. So that's good. But also, they're going to have great matches, and I'm excited for that. And Aleister Black's got a story. So that this was one of those not perfect, but I'm into it.
Yeah, I'm into this.
So yeah, we had a four-way for the 24/7 title, which Akira Tozawa won back. Makes it hard to take the Hurt Business seriously when Benjamin's involved in this stuff. We got the Randy Orton promo, which we already talked about.
Apex Predator.
Montez Ford versus Angel Garza with some nonsense with Demi Burnett. Is she just stuck there? Is it a lockdown thing? Can she not fly back?
This segment has two storylines running concurrently through it. One is, did Zelina Vega poison Montez Ford? I don't care at this point. But do you know why I don't care? Because he's fine and he keeps winning. So it doesn't matter who poisoned him in the end, really, does it? So
I'm really hurting. Super spinning frog splash. Oh no, no, I'm poisoned. Amazing flip dive.
He's fine, and he's won every single time he came back. If anything, the poison's made him stronger. The poison's actually, it's improved his game. So there's that storyline that doesn't need to be going along. You've also got this storyline between Angel Garza and Demi Burnett. Is that her name?
Yeah.
Like, because she won't leave, apparently. Who is incredibly fickle, because she went out there with Angel Garza being like, oh my God, Angel Garza's so handsome. I'm going to clap along with his match. Very lovely. He gave me a rose. Ivar from the Viking Raiders comes out, gives her a turkey leg, and she goes, oh, lovely turkey leg, thank you very much, and leaves with him. Fickle. Fickle is what she is. You were out on a date with some lads. You can't just go on a date with a different lad because he gave you a turkey leg. That's not a good thing.
There was also the bit backstage before then when Garza was with Demi and effectively said to Charlie Caruso, hey, come on, sleep with us. And Charlie Caruso was like, he didn't say that, but that's what he said, you know. And Charlie's very rightly like, no, Ooh. And, you know, it's funny and ultimately it doesn't really matter because it's just rubbish. But there is like a pretty ingrained misogyny going on here at its root. And that is, despite all of WWE's pleas for let's make a women's evolution and bring female characters alongside, just be equally badly as booked as the men's. This is using a female reality star as a prop. I don't think you would get this sort of treatment if it was a male cameo.
No, they'd be the host of Raw and call it Summerfest or something.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I mean, that, and it also kind of drives more that wedge between the reality of Raw Underground and the not reality, because Ivar and Eric are in Raw Underground kicking ass as these sort of like, you know, badass baby faces. And then Ivar just shows up to be like, doopy doopy doop, I'm a fat lad with a turkey leg. Do you want to go out on a date with me? There's such a disconnect between these two worlds.
But yeah, that's still going on. And likewise, Zelina Vega versus Bianca Belair is still going on, as is the Iconics. And what remains of the Riot Squad, that was a six-person tag there as well.
Yeah.
Nothing really happened.
Well, what we've learned is that the Riot Squad can only beat the Iconics if Bianca Belair is involved. Because if Bianca Belair is not there, then they're rubbish and just lose all the time. But as soon as Bianca Belair, she's the glue that holds this friendship together.
Tying them together with a very long braids. Yeah, and there was no real mention of the Liv Morgan, Ruby Riot dissension. There wasn't any of the Garza Andrade either. It's just, it's a rubbish story. And
that's the other thing.
It goes nowhere. So it's a double thumbs down.
Literally at SummerSlam, they were teasing the split between Andrade and Angel Garza. And then 24 hours later, they were just going out there as friends again. So how are we supposed to care about these storylines if they're not consistent?
But Belair did look really good. I'll give them that. So then we got MVP trying to recruit Cedric Alexander backstage. MVP was fantastic. Yeah, absolutely fantastic. I love his act. But then it's a go-home show. We've only got one show to build payback. How do we set up a United States title match? And Vince goes, presumably after he's ripped up the script, arm wrestling contest.
Yeah, I mean, my note here is I can hear Vince McMahon wanking to this sentence. Because it was such a Vince McMahon, like, but they're so big, they'll wrestle, they'll have the arms. No, oh, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, are you saying Bobby's feet under the table weren't the only illegal maneuvers?
Hey,
so hey. What happened here was Mark Henry judged an arm wrestling contest between Apollo Crews and Bobby Lashley. And Bobby Lashley apparently had his feet in an illegal position. Apollo stomped on his foot and then quickly won. So, and Apollo looked like an obnoxious twerp here. He's jumping around, celebrating afterwards, like, yay. And I was just like, what? First of all, this is a rubbish segment. Second of all, you made Apollo look like the heel. If I tuned in watching this, I'd think Cruz was a bad guy.
Yeah, no, completely agree. I also, just to jump back a segment slightly, I also did not like Ricochet and Cedric Alexander playing with the arm wrestling thing like it was a toy, so that Mark Henry could come up and be like, okay, children, you've had enough of this toy. Now I'm going to have to take this toy away from you. Because it made them look childish and silly.
Mm-hmm. We got Rey Mysterio saying he's so proud of his son, Dominic, who was there next to him backstage with Mum Angie. And, you know, all us Mysterios are so good and we're strong together. I'm like, you've got them beaten every single time. Your son was whipped with a kendo stick in front of you. You currently have an eye missing.
Yeah.
I don't know. And Natalya and Lana were being heels and Mickey James just came in and laid them out. Just to fill a segment, really.
No, come on. This segment had Lana and Natalya cut a promo. They then showed a video package, but it wasn't a video package because they were inducting Mickey James into the Hall of Fame. So they discussed this Hall of Fame and the legendary career of Mickey James. Natalya makes a joke about editing together this Hall of Fame video package. They cut to the screen and it is a black screen. And that's the big joke. They yuck it up, continue to do some promos. Mickey James comes out, beats up both of them, and then leaves. This segment was 90 seconds long, and they crammed so much into it. It was wickedly fast and meant nothing.
I like your use of yuck. I yucked it up, because now I just think of them going, yuck, 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 yuck,
yuck, yuck, yuck, yuck, yuck, yuck. They do, yuck, yuck, yuck.
But don't worry, the show's going to pick up now. It's Raw Underground. Shane McMahon is jumping around. He's so excited. Come in, MVP in the Hurt Business.
I've got my new favorite photo of Shane McMahon's Raw Underground. Look at that face. Look at that Shane McMahon face. That is Raw Underground summed up right there.
Now, bring that back up, because you may think Shane McMahon's out of focus there because he's in the foreground. Incorrect. He's sweaty. He's now so sweaty, even the highest shutter cameras cannot get an accurate picture of that man. He could now become an international spy. He's indetectable from modern surveillance.
Yeah. I also think as well that the 3-week push of Raw Underground is over, because this Raw Underground did not get hyped at all this week. They cut back to it twice. And so this is the bit from Fightful. This is a direct quote from them. Fightful have learned that several WWE Raw Underground segments were scrapped last night without even being viewed. The first featured UFC veteran Jessamyn Duke taking on Enhancement Wrestler in a match that went about 1 minute. Duke received high praise for her striking in the segment, which ended up not airing. Following her win, Marina Shafir took on another Enhancement Wrestler. Get this. Later, Titus O'Neil was given a spotlight on Raw Underground, which it evolved into Riddick Moss taking on Titus. Lastly, Ivar faced Dolph Ziggler, but Angel Garza got involved, which resulted in huge bumps for everyone. We're not given a reason why these segments were scrapped.
Well, you know, sometimes it's for the best that stuff's cut. But of all of Raw Underground so far, they've only ever promoted one match in advance, and that was Ivar versus Dolph Ziggler. It's probably only a minute long. Why couldn't you just give us that? Because we didn't get that. What we got was Bobby Lashley going in there after, ooh, he lost his arm wrestling contest. I'm grumpy. And he squashes Dolph Ziggler. He kills some other guy who's thrown in.
Cedric Alexander.
Yeah, they go to another segment, comes back. So the impression is that Bobby's just been running through people during that time past. And yeah, he's just beating up Cedric in there. And that's what brings in the Viking Raiders and some other people. I don't even know. It's just, it's not going anywhere. There are no stakes. It's really incongruent with the rest of the program to go from a sports entertainment heavy arm wrestling contest. That same person then walks into this Raw Underground concept. It doesn't work. Choose a lane. And right, okay, I get maybe an idea that you want to create a show within a show. If you're doing that, have distinct cast members. You can't have people crossing back and forth all the time.
It's not working. And it feels like they've already given up. It didn't boost the ratings like they wanted. I can't imagine they thought it was going to boost the ratings. Cannot imagine they thought this will be the thing that brings in the 18 to 34 demographic. It's not worked, so they're just not doing it anymore. Hmm. Like, that's the impression I got from this. If they filmed all of that and then they cut it, edited it, and then Vince was like, nah, I'm not even going to watch it. We're just going to cut it straight from the show. Like, what was the point of doing it then?
Yeah. Yeah. After that, I mean, that's all of Raw Underground, by the way. We got, because it was cut between the show, then we got the Orton Keith Lee match and the angles backstage. And it was Sasha Banks versus Asuka.
Yes. Rubbish Lumberjacks for this match, because Bayley was beating up Asuka at one point and the Lumberjacks just stood there and watched. I was like, this is literally your job. This is the whole point of you being there.
It was an angle rather than a match. It was just a way for Baszler to attack Bayley on the outside. That furthered the tag title thing. And for Asuka to make Sasha tap in the Asuka lock. So there's your 3 weeks of booking across a few segments in a show. But that's, yeah, it is what it is. And it could have been good. I kind of wanted to see Banks and Asuka go at it again. And I thought, stupidly, this was the main event because I forgot about the Mysterio match. I thought, 20 minutes? Yes! But no, the actual main event was Rey and Dominic, the Mysterios, father and son, teaming together for the first time ever in an unannounced TV episode.
I'm amazed they did not do this at Payback. Like, I was convinced that this would be a match at Payback, but they just did it here on Raw, and it didn't have an ending. It didn't have an ending, did it? Retribution just came out and caused the DQ.
Metribution
just came out and caused the DQ, and Rollins and Murphy sort of laughed because they weren't getting beaten up. You know, Dom looked good. Rey looked good. It was sort of fun while it lasted. Actually, I thought Dom looked great, really, because, you know, Rollins and Murphy are bumping like crazy to get the kid over. So I thought that was very good. But it's, yeah, it was just, it wasn't like everything on this show wasn't a match. It was an angle.
I agree. Rey and Dominic worked really well together. And, you know, as a fan, it's cool.
Yeah,
this is what I wanted at SummerSlam. I didn't really enjoy the match at SummerSlam. I've explained my reasons why. A lot of people did, though. I'm not taking that away from them. But this, them running wild, getting that revenge that's been building for ages, that's what I wanted at SummerSlam. We got it here, and I was into it here. But then, yeah, we didn't even properly get the Mysterio sort of, not redemption, what's the word, like?
Payback.
Getting them over. Payback, yeah. If only we had a pay-per-view where they could do that sort of thing, Luke. Because Metribution run in and they beat them both up. And yeah, it was all a bit lame. I'm not really into it. It kind of cast doubt whether Seth and Buddy might be involved with Metribution. I don't think they are. It really frustrated me that no one ran down to help the Mysterios after a lot of the whole Rey Mysterio storyline is built around people coming to save him because of their respect for him. And last week, where the locker room was backstage saying, we can't let this carry on.
Samoa Joe was there as well. Was he told that he's not allowed to attack them because it might cost him his job?
Yeah, it's inconsistent. And I mean, I gave this show a 4 out of 5.
I was, because I got the images for your review today, and I got to the end of it, and I was like, oh my God, Ollie Davis gave this. I mean, I don't think this is going to go down particularly well with the comments.
Look, we watch these shows, and I've literally got, as soon as I finish the show, I've got to write a review, and then I've got to do that in an hour, and then I film it and I send it off to get edited, and then it goes live. It's a remarkably efficient, fast production turnaround. But where that lacks is the ability to reflect and think more on things. And I've got to be honest, after the Keith Lee stuff, I was just marking out. I was just so overwhelmed with Keith Lee. I was really happy for him. I love his character. I love the way he wrestles. I'm enormously excited. And I even say in my wrap-up, hey, I just thought this bit was cool. The rest of the episode was crap, but I like this bit so much. And it was a huge part of the episode. It was the main part of the episode.
Absolutely.
I got carried away, maybe. Yeah, screw it. I'll stick by it. What about you?
I think it's a 2 out of 5 show. Like, I thought the Keith Lee stuff was good, but the rest of the show was just bad top to bottom. Like, yeah. And there was so much in this that was nonsense. It stank of rewritten. It stank of everything being thrown out and replaced last minute. And as much as I've got a lot of positives, and I do think that the Keith Lee debut is a net positive, mm-hmm. I think overall, this was a bad episode of Raw. And yeah, man, 3 hour runtime, I felt it, particularly in that final hour. Oof, Magoof. I felt like I was constantly looking at the clock being like, how much more of this show is there to go? And lastly, about on Retribution, what is the point? Like, where's this going? What is this leading to? Because it doesn't feel like at the moment it's going anywhere. Since they started this, I don't think they've got an end point in mind. So they just every week been like, what are they doing? They're taxing people. Cool. Next week, what are they doing? They're taxing people. Okay, cool. Next week, what are they doing? They're taxing people. Like, with no end point in goal, no end goal in mind. It just seems to be going nowhere.
Sorry, did you cut out there? Were you talking about Raw Underground?
At least that's been dropped. At least we know that's been like they've given up on
it. It's not been dropped. It's still happening.
But we can tell they've given up on it. It still feels like they're trying.
Get a second win. Straight on with all of your super chats. As I've said already, my favorite viewers who give us money. I know what the fan base wants. I knew they wanted jam that jam.
Mm-hmm.
They'll do what I tell them, Luke. So, Bradley Fetzer. We've already done that one. Jeff Mancini done that one. No, did we haven't. Jeff Mancini. Big plus for Keith Lee being brought up. Is Mia Yim on Raw? That's interesting because a lot of people were like, this Metrobution looks like the people who could be the lineup, because Dijak certainly looked like he was in there. It was huge. And some people said Mia Yim was in there.
Mia Yim doesn't exactly scream like the sort of character that would be part of Metrobution. But then again, neither does Dijak. And Ciampa's going back to NXT this week.
Yeah, so that rules him out. Black Adam, they cut out Keith sliding Brock at the Rumble and Team SmackDown at Survivor Series from his video package. Why? That's a huge selling point. Glad he's here, though.
I mean, yeah, but you also just focus on his NXT stuff. You're right. Like, I think they showed him debuting at the Royal Rumble, like on the main roster. But yeah, again, far from perfect. There's a little couple of tweaks you could have done.
Chaos Control, finally glad to do my first super chat. You're on the list now. You're my favorite. About the Keith Lee debut, it's easily better than other NXT debuts, but asking me to choose between poop and less poop doesn't mean it's not poop.
I don't know, man. Like, he's in the title picture in what I think is quite a good storyline.
Yeah, I think there's a larger scale there than what you're giving them credit for. Bradley Fetzer, is Keith Lee friends with everyone?
Well, he's friends with us. He's one of the nicest people I've ever met as well.
What a guy, yeah. We've got some missed super chats still from our SummerSlam live reactions stream. There was a few issues there, so thank you everyone for watching. Remember, if you gave a super chat on SummerSlam, support@wrestletalk.com, that's the email address to send it to, and we'll read it out at a later date. So these are a few more that have come up. It's from Michael Long. He says, I just enjoy watching you guys. I remember my super chat was something about how that Sean guy is annoying and jam that jam. So yeah. Sean Ross Sapp, I guess.
He is annoying though, isn't he?
Thank you all for what you do. Make fun, make wrestling fun again. And my wife thinks Drew is the sexiest man in wrestling and Adam. Oh no, Drew's the sexiest man in WWE and Adam is the sexiest man in wrestling.
That's a very nice thing to say about Adam Pacitti.
Yes, I think that's right. Raw related, Axe Adapter. Women's tag title match at Payback is a good thing because Shayna Baszler is winning a title, or is it bad because Nia Jax is winning a title?
I mean, the titles don't mean anything. Like, those women tag titles mean diddly dick. So, yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Bacon Rasher, Seth, Roman, Ciampa, Miz, other. Who's Metrobution leader? Dijak was there this week. Felt sick with those camera cuts, though.
Oh, God, yeah.
Can't wait to see Wrestle Luke hosting Wednesday. And Ollie, good luck. Jam that jam. Not going to need it.
Yep. Well, I'm not calling things right down the middle. So, yeah.
Right down the middle, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Straight right down the middle. No favoritism whatsoever.
Cheers. Got your back, mate. Dances with AK-47s. WWE commentary is so scripted and robotic sounding. You'd think you were playing a WWE video game. It's so cringy. I'm almost nauseous hearing it.
You could have Where done have that. You been? Had voice there. It's like playing a video game, Cole. Someone did a test where they were sort of like doing some work. They think that the crowd noise is from 2K games. It's the actual like sound files that 2K use.
That's so nice thing. Just might start glitching out.
Yeah, someone was posting about it on Twitter today. It made me laugh. That's the other thing. The camera cuts during that Retribution segment at the end of the show were so awful.
Yeah,
but also the sound mix from the Thunderdome wasn't as good.
It was weird, wasn't it? Yeah, I picked up on that.
So loud during talking segments that it was like drowning the people out. I don't think it particularly worked at all. Visually, I think it's good though.
Charlie Davis on this matter. The piped in crowd noise last night was distracting. It sounded like Raw was emanating from the world's most crowded McDonald's. It was. It sounded like a lot of people having conversations in the background, not people who were watching a wrestling match.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a good description.
Yeah. Brandon Rosen. I like the Thunderdome look, but I feel the piped in crowd noise is distracting during promo segments and sometimes drowns them out. Agree or disagree?
Completely agree.
They had it right on SummerSlam, so I assume they're still working things out. It is only the third time. Mr. Kajili, you say WWE can build Keith to something. They might, like Alexa, weeks of leading to something, and then Roman Reigns, I see Lesnar coming back.
Yeah, so I think what he's saying there is that they were building Alexa for a couple of weeks, but then really they dropped that so that Roman Reigns can come back. So I think what he's saying is that this Keith Lee debut is good for now, but Lesnar comes back and it won't be as good.
Yeah.
Yeah, over to you, WWE related. I'll take over. Hot tag, Mr. Gajili again. Do you think that Alexa Bliss is thinking of leaving after being screwed on Sunday? They need to do something on SmackDown, or I see her heading to the door.
No, not in the slightest. You know, out of all the people who I think are WWE lifers, I think Bliss is on that list.
Yeah. Brandon Rosen, once the pandemic ends and fans are allowed back in, which WWE wrestler do you think will receive the biggest pop and or the most heat? Hashtag jam that jam.
I'd hope it will be Drew. I think because there's a big groundswell of support for McIntyre, and I think we all know that he hasn't got that in a vocal way, like an auditory way, I should say. So yeah, I would do it for him.
Yeah, I think the answer is the same for both. It's Roman Reigns. He will be cheered because people will be happy to see him, but also booed because he's going to beat The Fiend this weekend.
And he's a heel.
Yes, and he's a heel, of course. Fritz, Phillips literally said we have a new Universal Champion, but the big news is that Roman Reigns returned. Damning.
We didn't talk about this, but they kept on saying breaking news, the big dog returned. They said that 3 times in the episode. And we have a very strict protocol of what we use breaking news for. It literally has to be within the last 2 hours and we're making an extra video on it.
Oh, sorry, Laura. Oh, sorry, I'm just getting something. Just breaking news, the big dog is back.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there it is there. So I don't know. It annoyed me in a new way. WWE are finding new ways to annoy me.
It tells you everything you need to know about this company. The only person that matters is Roman Reigns. These last 4 months since WrestleMania haven't mattered a squat because we haven't had Roman here. But now Roman's back, it's time to actually care about this product again, is what they have told their fans. Sorry, it's me, isn't it? The Goon! On a brighter note, did you see Roman's new teeth?
Yeah, it's hard not to when they catch the lights.
Bonzo for life, is Lesnar going to return in 2020? Don't know if I want it.
Hey, I think you do. I think when you see him turn up and he starts beating people up, especially if Paul Heyman's around, he's only going to be a good thing for ratings. And that's kind of what I want. I want wrestling to be good.
I wouldn't be surprised if they've been calling him almost weekly. Do you want to come back yet? Vandalia 1998. Do you think that WWE will ruin Roman's return like they did after his leukemia recovery with the murder and dog food story?
Yeah, I think it could happen. They've got a contract signing for Friday. A very overdone, trite concept. And yeah, if he wins on Sunday, I think he'll get a genuine backlash.
Do you know what I want to see The Fiend do? Paperwork. It's exactly what I want to see out of the Fiend character, is sitting there in a chair signing paperwork. It's
reading legalese.
Absolutely. Like him and Braun just totally fits them as characters to where and
I've just got a problem with clause 3B. If we can just go through this again. Well, Joseph Park better do the chairing of it. Especially like seeing Abyss in the
I really hope Abyss does get a match. Anyway, Ooh-ah, says, I hope fake Rowan poisoned Montez Ford. Hashtag continuity.
Oh, I hope they just do that as a joke somewhere. It's a little insider reference.
Nate dropped surname. I think Charlie Caruso cosplayed as Zelina and poisoned Montez. Doesn't make any sense, but she seemed extra mean to Zelina. Shrug. Luke, did you get my email? Possibly. I don't know, actually. It depends on what email. Support at WrestleTalk.com. Send it over there and I'll have a...
Charlie Caruso being mean. There's no way she can be extra mean. That's her whole gimmick. She's mean Charlie Caruso, remember? I don't think that's the case.
Yeah. Nathan, yes, I did. Absolutely, I did. Very, very exciting. That'll be for tomorrow. And he also adds, I think you mean Reigns Tribution because he's the leader. LOL.
He's a heel.
Maddie B. Wrestling. What a roller coaster from SummerSlam to Raw.
Yeah, technically I gave SummerSlam and Raw the same 4 out of 5. Give me a break, guys. I've only got 5 numbers to play with and a lot of complex emotions to go through.
Ollie sent me a message this morning to be like, did I tell you that you're doing the news today because Pete's off? My brain's very sleepy and I've forgotten everything.
Oh, I can't. This is the first time I've stayed up to watch a pay-per-view since Oh my God, what was the Revolution? AEW Revolution. I don't stay up late that often.
Brian Alvarez put a tweet out that said, I'm watching Raw and I need to know how it's possible that I missed weeks of TV between last night and tonight.
I'll take over if you want.
Oh, you take over, mate. I'll hot tag.
Wrestling talk sign guy. Very good reference. I'm going to Dynamite on Thursday and super excited. Wow. Any sign suggestions? Also, Ollie, have you been running during lockdown? Fellow marathon runner here. No, I haven't. I have not done any running since the marathon last year. It killed it for me. I hate it. But good that you like it.
Absolutely.
Awesome that you're going to Dynamite. Sign suggestions, wrestling talk.
Jam that jam. Or wrestling talk. No, take a sign that says, jam. I am that I am. But in jam style font. So yeah. you've got it wrong again.
Second class elitist. We are here to bask in his Ollie.
Oh, bask in his Ollie.
Yep, I know what you want. I know what you all want. Zachary Jenkins. Ollie, I'm reading Blackest Night. It's so good so far. Have you read it? Of course I've read it. Jeff Johns' magnus opus in the Green Lantern saga. Fantastic work. Have you read that, Luke?
I have not, but that's because DC's for nerds. I'm kidding, ouch. Obviously.
N.S. Ogre. I'm having an argument with one of my best friends from uni over WhatsApp at the moment that he's really excited about the Snyder Cut. And I'm like, we've had this decision already. It's a bad movie. It's not going to be made better by more Zack Snyder.
I felt really bad as well because my mate texted me being so excited about the Batman trailer. And like, I watched it and I was like, yeah, it is a really good trailer. But man, I'm struggling to get excited about another Batman movie at this point. But I felt really bad because he was so excited. I didn't want to text him and be like, yeah, I thought it was good.
Yeah,
it's cool, but I'm not as excited as you are at the moment.
We thought the same thing about Spider-Man, and Tom Holland whipped us all back up in a frenzy. NS Ogre, thanks for all the great entertainment over the last few months. Looking forward to tomorrow afternoon. A toast, Glenn Morangi, to the whole crew. I think that's
Thank you very much.
Is that the whiskey I've got? I'm not really a whiskey guy, but I think that might be what he's referencing for Quizzlemania. The Jam 1, Ryan B. Jam. Ollie's Keith Lee impression sounds like QC from No Rolls Barred.
Well.
Martin Brennan, thanks for all you guys do. Love the channel. Don't really watch wrestling much, so I watch this daily. You have me interested in wrestling again. Hashtag Jam That Jam. Oh, that's good to hear.
Thank you very much.
And a few last bits. Tomo. So you like money, Ollie? Here. He's given $7.99 Australian dollars, otherwise known as $1. The Botch Guy, you guys do an incredible job. Have a lovely day. Thank you.
Very nice message. Thank you very much.
And some last minute super chats. Christopher Mendez, while back I did predict Vince would put Keith Lee and Bobby Roode in a tag team since they both talk about glory. Mark my words. Bobby's not been around. He's up in Canada, isn't he? Difficult to travel.
Certainly is, yeah.
Chaos Control, I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to compare the contract signings between AEW and WWE this week. It's hard not to compare two wrestling shows. What is the contract signing on Dynamite?
It's the Moxley MJF one for All Out.
Because it's about the banning the... Have you watched Dynamite?
I still haven't seen it yet, man. The only thing I've seen is the Brodie Lee Cody match. The only thing I've seen.
My lady partner will attest. Anna?
Yeah?
Did I cry last night watching AEW?
Yeah,
I was just... I was a bit weird because I hadn't slept properly. I'd only had 3 hours sleep and I was trying to stay awake and I watched AEW. And when he holds the hand... When Cody was being thrown around in the neck brace anyway, I was getting very up, like very... very excited in a sort of sad way. And geez, when they just grabbed up, fantastic angle. Eddie Good, Keith Lee versus Brock Lesnar at some point. Jam that jam.
Gotta be. Hope so.
WrestleManiac, just tuned in. Not sure if you spoke about this already, but who do you think the two big guys are in Retribution from last night? Dijak?
Yeah, I guess so. Like, I'll be honest, I'm very sorry not to really give you a good answer, but I don't care. I think it's part of the problem. But also, from what we've been told, it's not the lineup that's going to be in the group. So I'm struggling to care about it until they actually reveal who is in the group.
Montblanc 034, Ollie's clout is limitless.
There you go.
I saw someone say, now Keith Lee's on the main roster, he's the limited one. That's his new gimmick. And just to show everyone that I am a man of the people, that I do care about you, here's a non-super chat chat that I've lost. It's from Herc the Jerk. The Dark Knight is superior to both of the other movies. Dark Knight Rises is borderline between good and bad. Begins is decent.
I think
before Luke has a chance to respond there, that's all that we've got time for on today's episode.
I just want to say, I think Batman Begins is the best of the trilogy.
I agree. Yes. Actually,
I think that's legit a 5-star movie. It's absolutely fantastic. I think The Dark Knight is good. Dark Knight Rises is very, very silly. Can I tell you about, can you ask me how my weekend was?
How was your weekend, mate?
So tiring. I did so much manly stuff over weekend. It's probably the most manly stuff I've ever done. So my parents bought a house a couple of years ago up in Hereford. They moved out of the city and moved away into the countryside to get up in Herefordshire.
Smart move.
Yeah, absolutely. Kate Humble would be very proud. Have you ever seen that show? Kate Humble's, it's called something like twice the life for half the price. And it's basically Kate Humble with city dwellers moving into the country. And the general thesis of the show is, you're an idiot if you're not doing this. are you living in London? You're a big idiot. Look at these smart people. They're not idiots.
I it's weird how you're saying Kate Humble like I know that name. It sounds like a wrestling name, a gimmick name for this particular purpose. Now, I like living in the city, actually.
Yeah.
It's a bit rubbish when everything's in lockdown, but that's a once in a generation thing, hopefully. When we were at my parents a couple of weeks ago, my sister's bought a new place. And they're all talking about, would you and Anna ever like to move out to the sticks, which are the suburbs, really, just outside of London, Kent, where my parents live. Yeah. And Anna, just, it fell out of her mouth because sometimes she can't control the filter. She said, no, I like living where stuff is. And they all laughed, but Anna shoots hard on Ollie Davis family.
So my parents moved out into the sticks. They moved up into Herefordshire. This brilliant house that's right up at the top of this hill. A hill you've got to go up in first gear. Otherwise, if you've got stuff in the boots, you cannot get up in second gear. Certainly not in a Minoru Suzuki Swift anyway. So they were doing this big extension of the house. So they currently are doing this big extension. Extending out the kitchen. They're putting in this huge bedroom that's got this massive window that overlooks the rolling countryside. And you can see the River Wye. And it's a beautiful, beautiful place. And they've got amazing work done on it. But it also means then that work needs to be done around because in order to save money, my dad's doing a lot of it. My mum and my dad are doing a lot of the work themselves.
Is he a handyman?
Oh, my dad's very much a handyman. Yeah, there is not a thing in this world that my dad can't fix, or at least cannot teach himself how to fix. He's a very, very self-sufficient man in that regard. Can fix a car, no end.
even Israel and Palestine.
Do you know what? I think my dad would love to give it a go.
Put him on the task.
I think he would be able to just talk straight to them. He'll probably talk a lot of bollocks and not find a solution for it, but he will give it his darndest go. So because they're doing a lot of it themselves, when me and my brother went to go see them this weekend, is my sound okay? I'm conscious that my microphone keeps falling.
Okay, I think with these microphones, as long as they're pointing in the general direction, it won't pick up much sound elsewhere. If only I had this microphone in Fartgate a couple of months ago, maybe I would have got away with it.
But it meant that when we went up to, we were going to go canoeing this weekend, but because of all the rain that we've had, the water levels were too high, and the people who were organizing it said, we can't go canoeing now. So that just meant we had to do a lot of house stuff. Mm. Ollie Davis, I took down a pillar.
Whoa. So
my parents, like their living room and dining room were separated by just like a pillar there used to be doors there, but the doors were taken out. So it was just sort of two like walkways. But there was a pillar in the middle there that's obviously supporting it. But they've now put a joist in above that so that the pillar can come down. So I had to take the pillar out with like a big sort of like pneumatic hammer thing.
Were you certain that the joist was going to support the rest of the house?
My dad was very confident that it was.
But he was also telling us all that he could solve Israel-Palestine that time.
So I had to do that. I moved around so much rubble and things like that. I was carting around wheelbarrows. I had to dig a trench for electrical wires that are going around the side of the house. No. It's not that kind of place, really. And I also put in insulation. Me and my brother had to measure up the insulation and cut it all up to size and fit that in. One of the pieces that I did, Ollie Davis, and bearing in mind, my brother has built a house on his own. He built a house in the woods once. He's very good at this. I did it better than he did. Because one of the pieces that I cut together, boom, straight in, fit like a glove. Didn't need any adjustments to it whatsoever. Benjamin, on the other hand, bunged. To keep taking his out, readjusting, moving his out. And I was like, first try, mate. Nailed it. First try, every time. Not every time. But that one time, first time.
All those years of Tetris and video games, your spatial awareness is second to none.
Oh, so good. I'm not very good at following. My wife has always said that she doesn't think that my brother and I would work together well. Like, I've always talked about, like, me and Ben doing some projects together. And she's always said, I don't think you'd work that well together. I think that you would just argue a lot. And I was like, no, I think it'd be fine. And me and Ben talked about this the weekend. We've got a very strict working relationship. He tells me what to do when I do it. I don't ask questions. Don't ask questions. Don't give my own thoughts. Just do what he says. And it's fine.
Yeah. That sounds good. As long as there's a hierarchy, there's a big dog, and there's the rest of the shield. Well, actually, that's not how it worked, was it? He was the architect. Are you the big dog? He's Seth Rollins. You better watch him. Watch yourself around Ben.
If there's any chairs around, or if he starts like, you know, dyeing half of his hair, although he's shaved his head like me now. So I don't know if he's going to be able to dye half of it. Unless he comes like dyes half of his skull. Bright yellow. That's the warning sign there. We have an update from a WrestleTalk Get Better that was sent in a couple of weeks ago from David. It says, hi, Luke and Ollie. I just wanted to give you an update on my surgery and the status of my cancer. The surgery on July 15th was intense, but went well. And after it, I am in remission.
Hey! I expect you to turn up in a main event of SummerSlam soon.
Of the 11 lymph nodes they recovered from my upper thigh and lower belly, only two weren't cancerous. Recovery was 4 weeks, and for two of those weeks, I needed a walker to get around. I'm just about normal walking and moving around now. I get to go back to the office on the 21st, which I'm happy about.
Surely that's not a good idea.
I'll be doing radiation in a few weeks and will be fine. I will be doing radiation in a few weeks and will find out this coming week if I need to do more chemo or not. I'm also proud to say that I did lose a few more pounds during all of this, and I'm currently at 197.6 pounds. So previous mentioned in my email, I was 245 when I started my diet.
Wow, you've lost a fifth of you.
As always, thank you so much for your content. Love you. Bye.
That is fantastic news. Well done. Well done for getting through it. And, you know, if you keep on at that rehabilitation with the walking, soon you'll be able to start real exercise. That's something to aim for.
And I thought we would end with Lucas's email here, who has got a welcome return of Poetry Corner.
Oh, can we also have that? I saw an email pop in about the bet. Have you seen that?
I did, yes. Let me find
because that's
that
fresh.
One.
We could quickly do that. It's not long.
Yeah, I know. I just need to find the email.
It's just in the inbox.
No, but it's not
there. Did you file it away?
I filed it away. Hold on. Fill for time.
Oh, no, you know I can't fill for time when you ask me to fill for time. What have I? I watched a YouTube video on eggcorns before I started this, which are phrases that people get slightly wrong. And apparently a card shark is actually, thank you. You don't want to hear the end. Card shark is, you know, a phrase, but that was originally card sharp. So that's a rare example of an eggcorn that's replaced the actual phrase.
I saw a post on Twitter just before we came on here of someone who has collated all of the Facebook, like, you know, the Facebook marketplace thing that they've got of people who are selling Chester drawers. So not a chest of drawers.
Oh, no way. A Chester, like it's a brand Chester. Or a style.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Chester drawers.
A Chester chest of drawers.
Yes, this one comes in from Andy, who put a bet on Sunday at midday. His wife was pregnant, went to labor at 7 p.m. on Sunday, so we missed the Champions League final, missed SummerSlam, but it's the Champions League game this week. Anyway,
his baby girl, Riley
McLaren, was born at 3:46 a.m. He got thrown out of the hospital due to COVID rules, got home, watched SummerSlam, checked his bet, absolutely nailed it. He put a bet on that McIntyre, Wyatt, Street Profits, Rollins, Cruz, Bayley, Rose, and Asuka beating Banks would win. 80-1 odds, won himself £400.
That's amazing. But definitely the bet was the biggest life event in that evening for me.
Absolutely.
Followed by SummerSlam itself, then maybe the Champions League final. Welcome into the world, Riley. Riley McLaren. Absolutely. That sounds
good
like a future
name.
Wrestler.
And lastly, yes, we'll have Lucas's return to Poetry Corner. It says, hope is all well with you. I was listening to the most recent Raw review and Ollie's little weather rant was so good, it reminded me of a simpler time. So here's the poem. It's not boring weather. It's sometimes torrential rain. It's sometimes lightning. It's sometimes hideously sunny. What's happening to the world? I think it's ending in 2020.
Oof. That's fun. Aliens. That's the thing to go out on.
He's also sent across an image for you. It's in the inbox in the general folder if you're on the support inbox there. support@russellcork.com. He says that his wife and he went to Colorado, did some hiking in the Rockies, and there was a little restaurant there that you may like, Oliver Davis.
In the Rockies. Oh, it's asking me to sign in. Support@russellcork.com. This is great audio content. And what? It's definitely the time for it because
we
literally have
to
be live right now.
And
General, come on, just load. What's the name?
It's called Welcome Return to Poetry Corner.
Welcome Return to Poetry Corner. Let's have a look at these. Oh, my word. What a beautiful little spot that is across a lake with some mountains. And it's called Ollie's Pub and Grub. That's
there
nice.
It is.
Yeah. Colorado beers on tap.
Wings.
Yeah,
best
yeah.
Burgers in town, apparently.
That just sounds like I've got fat arms. Ollie's famous jumbo wings as he presents the news and they flap around. Right, we've got to...
anything there that I can eat.
We've got to bloody go live.
Okay, right. Ollie's got to go. He's already put his microphone down. He's going to go set up the screen. Thank you all so much for listening. We've got a lot on this week because NXT is going to be live. NXT podcast makes a return. So much content. Hope you enjoyed it all. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Wrestle Talk Rumble, now it's live. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.